go to several places. Colossians 1 and then 1 Corinthians 15. Okay, we almost had $3,000 last Sunday for the youth. I think it's just like $60 shy of that. So praise the Lord for that, and thank you. It's a fun way to raise money, isn't it? I think I might start a business, buy them chocolate guns that Brent has in Belgium for $10, because we sold it for $120, I think, on the auction. So anybody want a gun for $120? I'll buy them from 10 and then have them ship over here. So I brought two of them. One of them's for Luke, but Mommy broke it in the car this morning. So it's a sawed-off 9mm. So it should do the trick. Got to have a good kick. Okay, Colossians 1:15, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand this idea, help us recognize that a lot of times people separate the secular from the sacred or the spiritual, but for a believer, it's all spiritual for us. And I just pray you'd help us to be good witnesses for thee and take up the opportunity when you open up a door or when somebody opens the door to witness for thee. And I just pray you'd help us to grasp this idea this morning. The Spirit of God would give us enlightenment. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Colossians 1:15. This is just the end of a sentence, a long sentence. It starts in 9, so we're going to pick it up in 15. He says, who is the image of the invisible God? Of course, the image is Jesus Christ, of the invisible God. Okay, so God the Father. And then he says, the firstborn of every creature. So Jesus is the very first person born of God. For by him, Jesus Christ, were all things created. So how did he do that? That are in heaven and that are in earth. So we have a contrast, heaven and earth. Visible and invisible. Again, a contrast. Visible and invisible. So as we look around, we see the visible, but right here in the room is an invisible. Okay, and if the Lord would give you the option to see it, it would probably pass out. Okay, so right here, it's a parallel worlds, the visible and the invisible. And so that's what I want to point out here this morning is these contrasts between the natural and the supernatural. Okay, so the one is visible and the other is invisible. This would be the invisible over here on this side. Invisible over here. I see I need to put another eye in there. That's an eye. Okay, and they, the invisible, can see through this veil over here. We, as a whole, can't see through here. And so that's all around us. So when the Lord showed himself after the resurrection, he just stepped through this veil and became visible. And then he'd go back. And so there's that veil there. So in Colossians, you have, notice, visible and invisible. So what do you have? Whether they be thrones. So there are visible thrones and invisible. And then dominions, principalities, powers, all things created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Okay, that right there, consist. Okay, what keeps the world working, and these worlds, because there's two worlds, is Jesus Christ, the Word. Now, the scientists don't accept that idea, but I pretty much don't care. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15. Again, now this one would be toward the end of the resurrection chapter, and I want to see a series, a contrast that he lays out for us. In 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 39. Starting in 39. Okay, so the resurrection chapter starts off with the Gospels. And then he ends up with the great pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And the sooner the better on that one. Okay, so let's look at the contrast. In verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men. Okay, that would be men, mankind, men and women. Another flesh of beast. So, and then another of fishes, and another of birds. Okay, and then Jude mentions strange flesh, weird and not normal flesh. And then notice the contrast, verse 40, there are also celestial bodies. Okay, so the celestial bodies is on this side, the supernatural, and bodies terrestrial. Okay, now you look at the end of the word terrestrial, you have trial. So that would be over here on this side, the terrestrials on this side. And then he has, for there is one glory of the sun, so the sun has a bright light. Another glory of the moon's light is less wattage. And yes, the moon does emit light. Okay, and another glory of the stars, and they have less wattage. There are night lights, that's so we don't kick our shin in a coffee table walking through the house. Okay, for one star differeth from another star in glory. There is also the resurrection of the dead. Okay, it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. So corruption's on this side, and incorruption's on this side. Okay, then he has, it is sown in dishonor, so that's that side. It is raised in honor, that's this side. Supernatural side. It is sown in weakness, natural side. It is raised in power, supernatural. It is sown a natural body, that's a no-brainer. It is raised a spiritual body. Okay, the spiritual side. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So you have a natural body and a spiritual body. I have a natural body and a spiritual body. We're all looking at everybody's a part of the natural body. I'm glad we don't look at all the natural body. And, of course, wearing clothes is a sign of the conscience. Okay? And so the natural body. And then the real you is your supernatural body, your soul. That's the real you. Your soul has fingers, you know. And if you get rid of your natural body and your soul is there invisible, if you throw a sheet over it, it would be like a ghost. You know, the sheet over top where you have fingers and everything. And I believe that sometimes if you get something amputated, that your soul is still there. Your soul finger is still there. And it may be your nerves, but it may be your soul. Okay, and so you got the natural body and the supernatural, the spiritual body. There's a natural body, there's a spiritual body. And so it's written, the first man, Adam, was a living soul. So the first man's over here, the first Adam's over here, and the last Adam's over here. Okay, the last Adam would be the Lord Jesus, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that which was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. So this is over here. We call this the natural born parents. Okay, then he has, and after that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. So we got the earth on this side. And then you have, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, so are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. So you got contrast. As we have borne the image of the earthy, so your first birth, you're born in the image of your parents. Okay? Your natural born parents. Seth was born in the image and the likeness of Adam. That's after Adam sinned. Okay, and then we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. When a person gets born again, then you are in the image of God. Okay, so you got both of those there. And then, now this I say, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So we got these contrasts, okay, where this side is death and this side is resurrection. So this side is natural, okay? So you've probably heard of people say, let nature take its course. Okay, so if you do that, look in James 3, verse 6. So if you let nature take its course, where does it end up? Okay, if a person does nothing, they just live a natural life, and you let nature take its course, James 3:6 says, it ends up in hell. Bad future. Okay, so in James 3:6, when nature takes its course, it ends up in hell. So that's not a good idea. So we have these contrasts. Now the power that created the earth, okay, if you would, go to Hebrews 1. Now Colossians said that the earth was created. Creation or create is to develop something, to create something out of nothing. Okay, now the scientists believe that, you know, billions of years ago, nothing exploded and became something. I mean, it's very illogical, very unscientific. Okay, now the Lord spoke, created the heaven and the earth, Genesis 1:1. Okay, a person says, you're a dumb thump to believe that. Okay, then mark me down as a dumb thump. Doesn't matter. Okay, he spoke it. Now, what keeps it into existence? In Hebrews 1, he tells us. Now, doctrinally, Hebrews is very clearly written to the Jews of the tribulation, but there are some universal things in the Bible. Okay, there are universal and there are personal. Okay, so this one, this falls in line as far as this goes. Hebrews 1:1, God who at sundry times in diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers. Okay, the fathers, who's that? That's, you know, the fathers would be Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then all the Jewish fathers after that. He spoke to them by the prophets. Hath in these last days, so this writer has been pushed into the future into a time period called the last days. It's the last days of Daniel's 70th week. Okay, but even that, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds. Notice that, made the worlds with an S. That's these worlds. That's only found two times in the Bible. Worlds, plural. So Jesus made the world. He spoke them into existence. So what is maintaining them? Okay, verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, so he is the image of the invisible God, and notice, upholding all things by the word of his power. Okay, scientists continually try to scare you and I, climate change. Some of us are old enough, remember that Mother Nature had turned the thermostat down and they warned us about freezing. And then evidently she turned it up. Maybe she was having hot flashes. So she turned the thermostat up and warned us about global warming. And now that's, you know, and back in the 70s, we only have 15 years, 15. And so now it's climate change. And they got some little, looks like a transgender boy who, I don't know what it is, in Switzerland, who don't know anything, trying to scare everybody, you know, about climate change. And all you have to do, my friend, is believe the words in the King James Bible. He's upholding all things by the word of his power. When God says boom, boom is going to take place. Now, a few years back, you know, I was, you know, down at Purdue and a kid mocked me. And he said, hey, suppose you think the world's ending. The world's ending. I said, oh, it's got 1,000 years before that happens. Go ahead and live out your life the way you want. I mean, that's what the kid wanted to hear anyway. And so, no, it's, you've got 1,000 years before God says boom. And when he says boom, it's going to boom. You know, they say it started off with a Maximus Bangus. It's going to end with a Maximus Bangus. That's Revelation 20. But that's in God's time. But until then, it's upholding. So I had my Sunday school teacher that I learned under growing up, teenage years. You know, he's in the nursing home, and I think he passed away a couple weeks later. He asked me, what is this deal about climate change? I said, it's all a lie. It's just a lie. There are scientists that actually come out and say it's a lie, but they don't get the press that the other folks get. We don't have to worry about it. Nuclear bombs is very similar. That's kind of in the same realm. You know, if there's such a thing, and it's going to happen, put my house as the bullseye. I mean, then we'll just be out of this world. And that'll be fine and dandy. Okay, but the power of the written word of God. Now, in Hebrews 1:3, it is lowercase w. So that is the written word of God, and it's the power of the written word of God that is why the world is still existing. Okay, now if you would go to Hebrews 11:3, this is the second and only occurrence of the plurality of the word world. And you'll see that the Lord will use an illustration of the natural world to explain the supernatural world. Okay, and any carpenter understands these words, Hebrews 1:3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. I understand that. Framed. Okay, and so he says, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That's creation. When the Lord speaks nothing, as far as he sees nothing in existence, and he speaks it, and something comes into existence. That's what the Lord does. Now, that is lowercase, again, both times it's a lowercase w, and the reason why that's significant, when it's an uppercase, you find that seven times in the Bible. It's when it's an uppercase, in the beginning was a word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. When it's uppercase, that's the flesh and blood word of God, Jesus Christ. In John 1:14, the word was made flesh. That's found seven times in the Bible. But the uppercase W and the lowercase W word are inseparable. And a person needs to understand that idea to overcome confusion of this day. They're inseparable. The living word, flesh and blood, and the paper and ink, living word that I got in front of me. Okay, that is what's keeping the world together. Both of them have two natures. You see, Jesus was God and man. The Bible was inspired yet written by man. Both are empowerments of the new birth. So you believe in Jesus, you get born again. But 1 Peter 1:23 says you're born again by the word. This is why the gospel presentation says twice according to the scriptures. Do we have them available? Yes, we do. Okay, both of them, the written word and the flesh and blood word, prophesy. They foretell future events. Both of them are eternal, yet Jesus died, and you can burn a Bible, but yet they're eternal. And here's what gets the church. Both of them are counterfeited. That's what they overlook. And that's why they have massive confusion. Okay, and so Jesus is counterfeited. There are many Christ, and he's called the uppercase word of God. Therefore, there are lowercase words that are counterfeiting the true word. And so that's very significant to understand. Okay, in nature, both of these are necessary. In nature, you need both the sun, the S-U-N, and water to have a plant to grow very well, where the uppercase S, son of righteousness, you find that in Malachi 4:2. That's the flesh and blood word of God, Jesus Christ. But you also need the water, because in Deuteronomy 32 is the first time the word doctrine is found. And the word of God, the lowercase W, is depicted by water. You need both of those for a plant to grow. If you have sunlight but no water, the plant wilts. We saw that in June where the corn looked like pineapple. Okay? But then if you have water without sunlight, this plant will be stunted. Okay? If you have artificial light, like one time one of our fields was right next to when Burger King was out here, so you had the fluorescent light, and the soybeans, all the soybeans in that area was ready to harvest, but yet right where the artificial light was, it was still green. That's an artificial light. They need the sunlight. So we need the sun, Son of God, and the Word of God to be fruitful plants for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need both of those. Now, if you would go to Romans 1, we'll just kind of run down through this. Now, Hebrews 1:3, for the Bible believer, takes away any fear of climate change. They can talk about it all they want, and I laugh at them. I have no Zippo fear on that at all. Now, that's enough to satisfy me. Okay, an unbeliever who's been old enough can see through the lies if they got some common sense. But a lot of people, that's not good enough to satisfy. Now, where does this idea come from? In Romans 1, if you run down through there, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed unto men against all ungodliness and unrighteous men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So it starts with the spiritual aspect. That verse changed in every new Bible. So you run down through here. God has given an outward witness to every single person, and it's called the creation. Okay, the creation is his outward witness. He has an inward witness, and when we get that inward witness, that is our the inward witness would be our medium that we could try to witness to these people. It's through that inner witness. The creation is the outer witness. Okay, again, one time a while back, was down in Purdue, and we'll try to get down to Purdue in August. That's when they get back to school. But down there, a young man was talking to me, and he was mocking me about the creation. And I said, look at that building right there. That building, you know, that building came out of nothing. It was about 3 billion years ago. And you see how that building is right there? You know, all the bricks and the windows, just beautiful. I mean, it just accidentally took place, that building right there. And, of course, he's looking at me like I'm a knucklehead. And I said, now, you and I both know that's not true, but yet you think this world came in that just that way. And who's the knucklehead? You know? And so I was pointing that out to him. Now, where did this idea come from? In Romans 1:20 says that there's nobody that has any excuse about the belief in God. Why? The creation. 20, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So they got no excuse. Now they can be educated out of this. And as we read, you'll see that they will get educated, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. That right there, neither were thankful, ingratitude is the biggest characteristic of the woke generation. No gratitude, no appreciation of growing up in this country. Zippo. And that's their problem, is gratitude, lack thereof. And because of that, they became vain in their imagination. Why imagine? You can imagine all you want. Doesn't make it true. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's where the college professor gets his title. The colleges, the secular colleges, call those people professors, and then they use Greek letters for their fraternities. Where did they get that from? The Bible. They got that from the Bible. Now, this is unbeknownst to them, but when you start pointing that out, it kind of gets their mind thinking, hopefully. Okay, then in verse 23, if you read 23 backwards, you see the evolutionary theory. Okay, read it backwards. Creeping things, four-footed beasts, birds, man, and so then God. That's what they think they are. They're miniature gods. So what happens when they follow that line of lack of thinking? Verse 24, God gives them up to uncleanness. God gives up on them. Now, you and I don't know who he gave up on, but he does. And then 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie, worship and serve the creature more than the creator. They worship the green movement, and technically they don't, but still the idea is they're worshiping the earth, the mother earth, and they hate people. They claim to love the earth, but they hate people. Evidence of that is they want to get rid of people. The Georgia Guidestones last year, before somebody popped it and knocked it down, told everybody how many people they want to get rid of. And it was 6.5 billion they want to get rid of. And I don't think I'm going to make the cut. I think I'm going to be in that 6.5 billion. They want to get it down to 500 million. They hate people. That's what they hate. They claim to love the earth, but they hate people. That's for certain. And then you'll see 26, 27, 28, the transgender movement. That's what's behind climate change. That's the whole thing. It's the devil trying to interbreed between the fallen angels and people because he knows that fornication is the way to entangle people. And the power of the written word of God is what upholds a creation. You have nothing to fear, nothing to fear. When the Lord says, boom, the old heaven and earth is going to be destroyed and we look for a new heaven and new earth. Man, that's going to be good times. Now, there's another thing. The power of the word of God. If you go back to Hebrews, hold your finger in Romans because we'll come back there. But Hebrews 4:12, you hear these people often talk about homophobic, Islamic phobic, xenophobic. I don't know what that is. All these phobics. You know what they are? They're Bible phobics. They have a bibliophobia, if you want to use a scientific word. Bibliophobia. And you put the Bible in front of them and watch them. And I kind of like to goof around with it. You know, this Bible's going to get you. You know? Narrow-minded bigotry, they refuse to look at the Bible. Take their arguments and throw it right back in their face. Okay? And so, in Hebrews 4:12, why are they bibliophobics? Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Notice it's a lowercase w, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When a person sees a Bible verse, they have a sneaky inclination that those words are reading them. And it is. It's reading their heart. It just, you say, you believe that? Oh, you ain't a kid, and I believe that. That book. And what it does, it reads our conscience. Now, back into Romans 2, the outer witness is the creation. The inner witness is the conscience. And the word conscience is very, I think it's very interesting that the word conscience has the word science within it. And the first time the word conscience is found in a Bible is in John 8, verse 9. And all of the new Bibles try to get rid of it. And the word science is removed from all the Bibles. It's only found twice. One is true science, one is fake science. And all the new Bibles take that out. And then they take the word experiment out. Can you imagine the spirit behind all that? You see, science and experimentation, both of those are compatible to the Bible. They are. But fake science isn't. And that's what they're pushing. In Romans 2:15, the inner witness is the conscience. Okay, that's the inner witness. So that is our medium that we want to go to in our witness. Aim for the conscience. Aim for the conscience. Jesus did that to the woman at the well when he mentioned about, oh, go call your husband. He mentioned that with Saul when he said, Saul, how's your, he said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He's talking about the pricks in his conscience. You would have thought he would have said a bunch of other things to Saul. I mean, a murderer and a persecutor. He just said, how's your conscience, Saul? And because Saul, later on when he becomes Paul, said that he's lived in a good conscience till that day. Except for when Jesus put the point on his conscience. So the conscience is this crossover is what we want to rely upon, go to. In Romans 2:15, the conscience is what God has placed in a man, woman, and child. Animals don't have that. Okay, animals don't. Okay, a dog going to bite you, it doesn't go feel sorry. If he doesn't go to the Catholic dog church and confess his sin to the priest, you know, confesses to the St. Bernard saint, I feel bad about, you know, biting that person. They don't feel bad about that. They feel bad because you yelled at them and stuff like that, but they don't feel bad about that. I've got two roosters and about 15, 16 hens, and we don't hire a chicken psychologist to help them overcome, this rooster likes this hen more than this one, and he's pecking on this one and not being nice to them. They don't have those consciences. You know, when you see a dead dog on the side of the road, nobody calls the authorities and say, come and investigate. You know, a dead raccoon or dead deer, if you see a dead deer, maybe I'll come pick it up. But make sure it's not real fresh, or make sure it's not real, big, bloated. I like the fresh ones. Okay, my dog likes the fresh ones. And so, animals don't do this. How you know somebody... conscience is alive. If you ask them, if somebody stole from you, stole some money, would you be upset? They would say, yes. Oh, you just admitted it. You admitted it. Because the animals don't do that. It doesn't do that in the animal kingdom. That's in the natural world. That conscience is supernatural. Now, man could mess with it. He can defile it. Okay, but still, that's our go-to, is that conscience. And so what we do... is we find out some, these people on this side, we find out some areas that their conscience is agreeing with the Bible, and then try to show them, you're only picking and choosing, you're cherry picking. How about let's go the whole way? Believe all of it. Okay, and what we do, we offer that proof. Another proof is, if you're talking to somebody, it says, what you got clothes on for? You don't put clothes on. I know some people put clothes on them, little dogs. That don't count. Okay? The dog doesn't put clothes on. Cats don't put clothes on. There's nothing naked as a jaybird because the jaybird's got feathers. Okay? We have clothes on. Even the folks down there at the Sun Club, when they leave, they put clothes on. Why? It's because of their conscience. That's why. Okay? And that shows that God has lighted their hearts. And so we take advantage of that conscience and we try to tell them about that. And then you give them things that they can't explain. Prophecy. How do they explain prophecy? Okay, you take the unique aspects of the Lord Jesus. Okay, here they're on this side. We could put religion on this side and put the Lord Jesus on this side. And we could say, okay, in your religion, Muhammad, Confucius, any of the popes, any of the, Rasha Fahana's back in the past, any of these guys, did any of those people predict the future in detail? No. Did Jesus Christ? Yes. He did. Point that out to him. And if that's not good enough, ask him. Okay, when you use the hammer and you hit the wrong nail, and you utter a word, and it's a religious word, do you use Lucifer? No. Do you use Muhammad? No. Do you use Jesus Christ? Yes. Why? In here, you know. They know. I was in a shoe store, walking by a lady, and this shoe salesman, she said, Jesus Christ. And I said, he's a good savior. She said, yeah. Well, you started it. You religious freak. You said Jesus Christ. So there you go. I was talking to an older man and witnessed to him, and he wanted to stop talking Bible. So we started talking other things. So he's talking other things. And then he said, damn. I said, now, beans, you mentioned it. You said we didn't want to talk Bible anymore, but you said damn, and that means to go to hell. I don't want you to go there. I wasn't going to talk about it, but you mentioned it. And so here we go. And those spontaneous witnesses like that, that really does the job. Because it hits their conscience. You caught them off guard on that. Okay, so you look for those things. And then you show them on this side. What's going on this side that they're going to do what the Bible says? and they can't do a thing about it. If you would go to Psalm 2. On this side over here, guess what these elitists over here are doing? They're trying to get a world government. Well, who said that there's going to be a world government in the end? Now, I highly doubt at the, you know, World Economic Forum that in the beginning of the meetings that they had devotions and they read through the Bible and they said, oh, the Bible says we're going to have a world government, so let's do what we can to bring this world government in. No, they're going to do that because the Lord is in control. So what do we do with that? I get annoyed when Macron, the French dude, claims that we got to raise taxes to pay for climate change. I get annoyed about that, especially when you buy airfare overseas because you're being forced to pay for that. But the Lord's going to reimburse me at the judgment anyway, so okay. And so if you could look at it and get mad about it, you know, that Ashkenazi, that guy, that Macron, or you could go with the dude in Zelensky, you know, the fake Jew there. And these fake Jews, all this fake Jewish stuff is all Bible. They've been following Scripture and not knowing it. Ashkenaz, you can find him as a son of, a grandson of Japheth. It's a fake Jew. Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 mentions fake Jews. And so, how do we respond about these things? We can get upset, we can fret, or we could read our Bible. Psalm 2. Look how the Lord responds. Psalm 2, verse 1. Here we go. This is United Nations. This is a World Economic Forum. And this is the Davos group. This is the Bilderbergers that the media won't tell us about. Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. That's what they're doing at the World Economic Forum. The love of money is the root of all evil. And what are they saying at the World Economic Forum? Okay, let's see what they're saying. The WEF has declared that all citizens must be implanted with a CBDC microchip in the very near future in order to be able to fully participate in society and do things such as purchase food and water. Oh, where'd they get that idea from? They must have been reading Revelation 13 about the mark of beasts in their hand and in their forehead. So why is it these people on this side are doing some things that this side is going to happen? And what is our reaction? Look in verse 4 of Psalm 2. I get a chuckle out of it. He that sitteth in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. He who laughs last is the one that didn't get the joke. Oh no, he that laughs last laughs best. And the Lord gets the last laugh. And the Lord's coming back. And if you want to see what the Lord's going to do, go to Psalm 78. And this is a common saying, and I've heard this in the sports world. And when I hear these common sayings, often you try to jump in that, you know, I didn't know you read the Bible. You see, all these fake Jews, all this international stuff, all this is nothing a rehash of the Tower of Babel. And all the Lord had to do back then was change the language. That's how easy it is with God. So when somebody up on a scaffolding building, the Tower of Babel said, throw me up a hammer. The Lord changed the language, and he thought, he said, hit me in the head with a hammer. So he whacked them. And then everybody else goes away. But in Psalm 78, verse 65 and 66, is it coincidence he put it in verse 66? Because we'll find it in the 66th book of the Bible, Revelation. Verse 65 says, then the Lord awaked as one out of sleep and like a mighty man that shouted by reason of wine. Shouting? Oh, I hear that shout. He smote his enemies in the hinder parts. Do you see the writing? That's a nice way of saying, kick them in the... That's what the Lord's going to do. When the United Nations get together and they put their little, they put their cherub in front of it, the statue where they got a lion, a leopard with wings, and they put it out in front of the United Nations, and then they pulled it away because people said something about it. They probably put it in a room, and they're going to bring it back out later on. And the United Nations was predicted by a guy named Zephaniah many years ago. The Lord says, he said, I'm going to assemble the kingdoms. See, that's the United Nations. I'm going to say, why is he going to do that? Because the Lord wants to strike one match and blow them all up. United Nations. All this stuff. I mean, we can relax. The Lord's in control. Until then, we try to come over here, take some of these illustrations over here, because you see, these people over here are going to be forced to bend the knee to Jesus Christ. We're trying to get them to voluntarily come over here. Voluntarily believe in Jesus Christ. If you don't voluntarily believe in Jesus Christ now, you will be forced to. The Lord's in control. And you see, if you can't beat them now, why don't you join them? Wouldn't that be a smart thing to do? They can't beat them now. They're not gonna. So join them freely by believing in Jesus Christ. The ones that have, hey, we read the last chapter. Read that back of that Bible. We're on the winning side. Man, that's, I don't know about you, that's exciting. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to see that everybody is going to bend the knee someday. Everybody is. It's best if they would voluntarily believe in Jesus Christ now. And then we can relax. And when the world is getting together, and they are, then we can just, the Lord is just setting things up so he can get the last laugh. And we can laugh now. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to use some of the natural illustrations of life to try to show these people about the wonderful opportunity that they have available to them by believing in Jesus Christ. Pray you'd help us to be faithful in doing that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.